You can see the old monitors on the side. I love technology, and so we're kind of asking this question, are you sure? Maybe you've got that pop-up, you know, when you had the computer. Are you sure? And you're like, I don't know which one to click. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe some of you remember way back in the day when they used to have DOS shell, and then Windows came out, and then Windows like 3.0 and 3.1, and it used to be a big deal. Yes, no, what do we click on? You know, now you have a screen, you just scroll up and touch with your finger, you know. But I mean, I remember before mouse, we had to like tab over with the little arrow thing. And so we're going way back to ask ourselves the question, are you sure when it comes to your faith? Now, I want to do a little exercise with you real quick. Think of something that you believe, okay? That you, like deep down, you believe this. It could have something, maybe it's something to do with faith, with Jesus. Maybe it's something to do with, you know, how you operate in your family. It could be as simple as, like, I believe that kids don't know their left from the right because they always get their shoes on the wrong side. It could be something simple like that. It could be something at work. I believe that work will always suck the life out of me. You know, whatever it is, okay? I don't know. But think of that one thing. You're like, I believe this, okay? Now, get in your brain. Think about it. And then here's what I want to ask you. Why do you believe that? Okay, you got the what you believe, but why do you believe that thing that you're thinking about right now? Why? This past week, I traveled to Appleton. I went to the airport, took my mom back. And I believed that I was going to successfully navigate all the way to my destination because I had a map. Now, not one of those silly paper maps. I looked for one to use as an illustration today. Does anyone still actually use paper maps? Yeah, whoop. You know, I got a question here, okay? Why is it okay to unfold a gigantic map while you're driving down the road, but it's not okay to look at your phone while you're driving down the road? Okay, I just got a question there. Maybe a policeman, I can ask him that, because I don't understand that, okay? So I couldn't even find a paper map today. That's how bad this is. But on the way to Appleton, I used my phone. I had the map in there. I laid it out, you know, and it took me there, and it's a nice little, you know, Siri voice. Turn left in 2 miles. It's great. I love it. But I believe that I would get there because along the route that I had chosen, the map showed the exact way. I knew that I would get there. I believed I would get there because I had been there before. I had traveled this route. Other people had traveled this route. The map had laid it out. It was the proof. It was the why behind the what of my belief. See, we all believe stuff. We all, when I said, what do you believe? Everyone thought of something that they believed. That's the easy part. It's easy to tell people what you believe. But why we believe that isn't always as clear. Why we believe that isn't always as easy to say. And this is the reason that for the next couple weeks, we're going to be asking the question over and over again, are you sure? Are you sure you believe that? Why do you believe that? Because when it comes to matters of faith, matters of belief, matters or even lack of faith or lack of belief, the whys are just as important as the whats we believe. And so the desire of the next couple weeks is for us to gain confidence in order to help us have faith conversations anywhere, anytime. Now, some of you maybe are tracking with me a little bit. There's this thing within Christian circles that are called apologetics, okay? And apologetics is basically the why behind the what you believe, and then developing the conversational skills with people to feel equipped to talk to people, to explain the whys and the whats you believe. And so we're going to spend some time talking about apologetics. What's that look like in our life? What's it look like to engage in that at work, in our family, on the street, wherever? The verse that we're going to be looking at is 1 Peter 3:15. And it says, but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. And then, I love this, next sentence, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do it gently and with respect. Now, I love this verse because it gets at the heart of what apologetics should be like. Now, the word answer, if you go back to the original Greek, the word answer is actually the word apologia. Okay, now you may look and you go, oh, apologia, that sounds like a good English word. That sounds like the English word apology, which in modern times, apology means like to ask for forgiveness. But if we go back to the Greek root apologia, it does not mean forgiveness. It actually means to defend or to make a defense. Now, what's interesting is it doesn't mean like our modern day ask for forgiveness. It doesn't even mean, like, I hear defense and I think of like Green Bay Packers, like defensive linemen just waiting there ready to like take out anybody that comes near him, okay? But it's not that type of defense. It's not like, you know, put up your hands, get ready to punch somebody out to defend your belief. See, apologia, to give an answer, actually, Peter does a great job of explaining it in the second part of 1 Peter 3:15, where he says that we should have a reason for the hope that we have, and that we should be able to give it, even in the face of persecution. See, if you read all of 1 Peter, in the context of this verse, it's talking about when people are asking the church that Peter is talking to, why do they really believe in Jesus? Are you sure you believe in Jesus? And Peter's encouraging them, listen, you should be ready. Be prepared to give an answer, a defense, apologia to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And a lot of people stop right there. And they're like, okay, apologetics, I just got to be ready. I got to be like a defensive lineman, just waiting for somebody to hit me. And I'm going to hit them back with the truth of Jesus because that'll work every time. Okay, I'll be honest. If I punch somebody with the truth of Jesus, they are not loving the truth of Jesus. But if I do it with gentleness and with respect in a conversation, guess what? I not only earn a friend, but I earn someone who's willing to listen and willing to talk with me. And so this entire next couple weeks, next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about this ability to answer someone's question or to ask a follow-up question to someone else or to field maybe even an attack from someone who's feeling a little feisty on something you believe. We're gonna hone our skills to pique people's curiosity, to help steer them in the right direction, to literally plant the seed of belief and faith in them. Now, I love the verse in 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7, the verses that Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church. He's writing them, and Paul, in case you don't know, Paul is like, he's an amazing, like, one of the founders of pushing Christianity out after Jesus left earth and went back to heaven. Paul, like, the forefathers of the faith, okay, and he's got a buddy, Apollos. The two of them did more to help spread the word of Jesus, some say, than hundreds of people that came after them, okay? So Paul writes this. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants, I mean, Paul, amazing guy, throws himself under the bus. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. See, the goal of having a faith conversation, planting a seed, or maybe watering that seed of faith in someone's life is to help them discover truth. Not to win, not to be right, not to berate them, not to even have them believe just because I believe, but to help them discover truth. Matter of fact, Northridge Church, one of our core values here is actually to honor and favor the relationship with people, believers, non-believers, atheists, Muslims, you name it, whatever, to honor the relationship with people over being right in a conversation or in the relationship. Now, this doesn't mean that you should go out there looking to be wrong, but approach a conversation, approach a relationship, approach people valuing them more than winning or being right. See, apologetics is knowing the why behind the what. It's getting to the question that's behind the question. The one that's really keeping someone from knowing God or engaging us, engaging Jesus, engaging you. And so the next couple weeks, we're going to look at, we're going to ask the question, are you sure? Today we're going to ask the question, are you sure you believe? Next week we're going to ask the question, are you sure this is the only way? Then, are you sure Jesus is the way? Sorry, truth. Next week we're talking about truth. I should look at my notes. That'd be way easier. Next week is this is the only truth. The next, then we get to that, the 24th is Jesus is the way. Are you sure? And the last one is, this is good. This is my favorite. Are you sure God is good? You know, Pastor Beth prayed for these natural disasters happening all over the United States, and they happen all over the world. We just hear less about them. And we look and we go, wait a minute. Is God really good? I mean, look at that horrible stuff happening. Is God really good? We're going to ask the question and hopefully try to answer the question, are you sure God is good? Not only here on Sunday morning, but here's the best part. We're going to extend this out throughout the week. Pastor Beth talked about the groups fest that's happening out there. Many of you have already signed up to be in part of a small group. For 4 weeks, we're going to meet and we're going to talk about this topic. Because some of you I know are here, like you already have a question. You kind of want to raise your hand, but it's kind of awkward with like 200 people in the room to raise your hand, because if I called on you, A, I can barely see your faces because these lights are blinding me. But B, you're like, how are you going to say it loud enough for everyone to hear? That's why we have small groups. Because when you have something that piques your interest, or you want to listen more, or you want to ask a little question, be in a small group to ask that, bounce it off, pray with, and engage with other people who are having the same type of wrestling that we're discussing on Sunday morning. And so, nr.church/group sign up, sign up for a group, because here's why. It shouldn't take an atheist or someone with a different belief system to ask us why we believe what we believe in order for us to begin supporting our belief. No, see, as lovers of the truth, we should desire to grow, to have an answer about the hope that I have. It shouldn't take someone else to ask me before I start going, you know what, I should figure out the why behind the what. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I get the what, but I'm struggling with the why. Well, that's what apologetics is going to help us do. Matter of fact, apologetics, next 4 weeks, we're going to look at A, B, C, that are the benefits, the reasons for apologetics. A is to answer doubts. Let's just be honest. Everyone has questions about faith. Everyone doubts. Even the person that's been a Christian for like eons. There's still doubt that creeps in. It's natural. But when we feast on the evidence of God's existence for our faith, it allows us to leave the weak and anemic and beginning parts of belief and to grow and mature in our faith. Now, let's be honest. No one wants to hang out with an immature person for very long, okay? It gets old really fast. But why? Why are we okay? As Christ followers, a lot of times, why are we okay having an immature faith and living with our own immature faith and not seeking to grow it, to move it from immature, weak belief to growing and strong faith? Well, apologetics helps us answer the doubts that we have in order to grow our faith. Now, the B, and a reason for apologetics, is to build confidence, okay? See, when you begin discovering the why behind the what that you believe in, it naturally builds your confidence to believe, and then not only that, but to show others the answers of the why. See, showing people what you believe is great, because everyone can say, oh, you believe that, I believe this. Super. But when you start to be able to describe and explain and show people why you believe what you believe, guess what? Then it starts to grow and mature their belief, their faith. So the B is to build confidence. And the C is to change lives. See, when your faith goes from something that you just believe to being believing with a backing, your confidence drives you to not only change what you think, but change how you live. Matter of fact, my parents are a perfect example of this. My parents love Jesus. They've grown to serve him with all their heart because they saw a change in my life that spurred them to begin asking what they believed and were they sure that that was why they believed it. It grew their faith because they saw a change in me, all because I began to discover not just what I believed, but why I believed it. And so this whole series, I pray you would join us and we would walk along the journey of answering the question, are you sure? To help move us from the beginning immature belief to a mature and growing faith. Now, some of you may be sitting here, and I'm anticipating this question because, well, I asked myself a couple weeks ago. I said, wait a minute. Belief to mature into faith, why is belief not enough? Maybe you're sitting here going, you know, listen, I even know my Bible. Belief is enough because I have read Romans 10:9, where it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and has been raised from the dead, you will be saved. So it says right there, all I got to do is believe, right? But here's the thing. Faith isn't just belief. Faith is mature belief. Faith has reasons. Faith has a basis. Faith involves real truth. Now, this is so relevant to our culture today, okay? How many of you guys ever heard of the word, I was doing some research, the word truthiness, okay? Truthiness is a word out there in pop culture, and it means this. It means the quality of something seeming or being felt to be true, even if it's not necessarily true, okay? Or how about this? Maybe you guys have heard of fake news, okay? It's all over social media with it, and somehow we've come to this idea that if it's written down, it must be true, and so we begin to believe it, or how about, this is, it all boils down to this, really. Relativism, okay? And we're going to talk more about relativism as it bears on truth next week. But see, relativism is that which tries to pass off my belief as everyone's truth. And thus, what does, it waters down the facts. See, relativism says, listen, it's true for me, so it must be true for everybody else. But if you choose not to believe that's truth, you can make up your own truth. And all of a sudden, everyone's got their own truth, which doesn't make any sense because the definition of truth is that it's true. And so if you believe that everyone's left-handed and I believe everyone's right-handed, what do we do? Because now I'm saying the truth and you're saying the truth and all of a sudden it doesn't, huh? Relativism. And some of you are sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, okay, man, that relativism, that's some crazy stuff. It is all over the place. I was reading an article this week from a press conference in the wintertime, and it was being given by Sean Spicer, who at that time was the press secretary for the president, okay? And he was asked to, he was asked to give the reasons for a particular claim that the president had made, okay? Now listen, this is not pro-Trump, this is not anti-President Trump. I just want to show you what the article said because I read the transcript and I was astounded by what was said by the press secretary, okay? So he was asked to give the reasons for a particular claim, and these were the quotes that he gave. Well, President Trump has believed that for a while, and the president does believe that, and it's been a longstanding belief that he's maintained. And it's a belief that he has had for a while, okay? There was no reason, no logic, no answers, no truth that were given. It was just the word believe or belief. But here's what's happened. We hear the word belief, and we, in our mind, we go, well, that's truth. Now, I am glad that our president believes in things. I believe in things, and I even have to stop myself by saying the word believe and meaning it as truth when I talk to people. See, belief isn't a bad thing, but it's not truth. And honestly, belief is not enough to help other people understand what the truth is. If I walk in trying to explain the truth of Jesus or the truth of anything and just say, I believe, or I believed that, or I have had that belief for a while, I'm not giving anyone truth. I'm not giving them any reasons, any backing, any logic, any why behind the what I believe. I'm just giving them the belief. But here's the thing. I started thinking, man, our society today is just going downhill. I started blaming it on politics, and then I started blaming it on the millennials, and then I started blaming it on everything I could blame it on. And God took me to John 18, okay? Biblical passage written 2,000 years ago. And I realized, oh, shoot, this idea of relativism, this struggle with truth is not a new thing. It just gets packaged in a different package. Back in John 18, verses 37 and 38, Jesus is meeting with Pilate. And Pilate was kind of like the president of that area that Jesus lived in. He was like the head honcho, the guy that was in charge. And Jesus is meeting with him because the religious leaders at the time had brought Jesus and said, listen, this guy is like breaking the law. You should have him killed. And so Pilate's like, all right, fine, I'll talk to him. Okay, and he starts a conversation like this. So you are a king then, in verse 37. And then Jesus answered by saying, you say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. If you got your Bibles, man, underline that. If you've got your Bible apps, highlight that. Testify to the truth is the reason Jesus came into the world. Then he goes on, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate, being very composed, looks at Jesus and goes, what is truth? And with that, he went out again to the Jews who were gathered there and said, I find no basis for a charge against this man. 2,000 years ago, they were wrestling with what is truth. And Pilate was staring it in the face. What makes you think by telling someone you believe it is enough? See, believing isn't enough for the long haul. You have to know the why behind the what. See, I can believe that Jesus is my Savior, but without the experience, the scriptural backing, the defendable truth, and the logistical steps that you can take, my belief is just that. It's belief, immature, and not growing and strengthening faith. Ooh, what is faith? I'll tell you what. Let's go to the Bible, the source of real truth, and look at it. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain even of what you cannot see. See, the faith of the Bible, man, it's not individualistic. It's not blind. It's not haphazard. Faith, as laid out in God's word, is based on knowledge. It's based on physical and supernatural evidence. Even if we can't see it, it's based on it, and it's there. There's a theologian. His name is J. Gresham Machen. I'd never heard of him until I found this quote, okay? It says this, although faith is intellectual, it is not only intellectual. You cannot have faith without knowledge. But you will not have faith if you only have knowledge. See, knowing why you believe what you believe is important. We're going to look at this topic of apologetics and these tough questions over the next 4 weeks, because apologetics should become a discipline in our lives to help our belief become grounded faith in God's truth and with his knowledge. This maturing, grounded faith is what allows us to share that faith with others, showing them the why behind the what's you believe. And so when you're asked the question, are you sure you believe? I pray you say yes. I pray you even can say what it is that you believe in Jesus, in faith, in the Holy Spirit, in God. But more than that, I pray that you would wrestle with the whys of that belief. Because that is where the discipline of apologetics comes in. See, over the next few weeks, we're going to throw out a lot of questions and a lot of answers surrounding the faith in Jesus. But I'll tell you right now, hear me up front. The questions and the answers are not the most important part of apologetics or faith conversations. See, the people, the person that you're talking to, having a conversation with, impacting, they're the most important part of apologetics. Last week, Pastor August did a great job wrapping up our series called Holy Spirit Unwrapped. And he majored on this idea that Jesus' whole ministry was guided and enabled and happened because of the power of the Holy Spirit. But it was Jesus' love, not his power, not his miracles, not his even gifts from God that broke his heart. It was his love for people that broke his heart for a broken people. And guess what? The same Holy Spirit that gave Jesus the love that took him to the cross to die for you and I and then raise again 3 days later is the same power of the Holy Spirit that is with you and I here today, empowering us to be Jesus' witnesses or to speak on his behalf, the whys behind what we believe. But I'll tell you right now, if our witness, okay, which is a fancy word for our story, for who we are, how we live for Jesus, but if our witness, our lives, our conversation are not encompassed, wrapped in love, in gentleness, in respect, guess what? We don't do Jesus any favors. We don't do ourselves any favors. Matter of fact, we become what the Bible calls a noisy, clanging cymbal that just spouts off and doesn't do anything to grow someone's belief into grounded faith. And so here's where I want to camp our theology for this series, that we would love God and we would love people, that we wouldn't walk in looking for a fight. We would walk in honoring whoever we talk to for who they are, who God's created them to be, that we would have an answer for the hope we have, but deliver it with gentleness and respect. And so we're not only going to talk about questions like, are you sure you believe it, and force you, well, hopefully force you, but encourage you to answer that question for yourself, to dig into God's word, to pray, to have conversations with other Christ followers about this stuff. But I'm also going to help us understand what it is to have those conversations. Because here's reality. It's actually a lot harder to have conversations of faith with people than to actually know the questions and answers about God. We have to be ready to love people by listening, to work on our conversation skills, not just our knowledge of Jesus. We want to see our faith grow from immature belief to grounded, mature faith because we answer the why behind the what. But we engage other people with love, gentleness, and respect. And so each week, I want to give us just a little bit of like action steps for us to do in our conversations with people, even as we begin to unpack the "Are you sure?" questions. And so today's question is, are you a good listener? Okay, because I'll tell you what, I got a couple do's and don'ts when it comes to listening. I know a lot of people that are really great at conversations. I know people that love to talk about Jesus, and that's all they do is talk. And the person they talk to gets bored or annoyed because they never actually listen. I want to encourage you to be a good listener. Many of you are going to engage in a group this week. I want to encourage you to listen, especially if you're prone to overshare and overtalk, to listen to your group, to practice this. And here's a couple do's and don'ts. First do is this: do look people in the eye unless it's culturally unacceptable. But we live in the United States, and it's okay to look people in the eye. And so when you're listening to people, look at them in the eye. Now, I like 180 eyes just like locked onto mine. I just got really freaked out. So that's cool. No, I'm just kidding. I can't see anyways. These lights are too bright. It's okay. But do look people in the eye. Do be still with your arms at your side in a posture of confidence. Do make a great effort to remember the person's main points when you're talking with them. Now, here's a couple don'ts. Don't look around the room. That communicates, I got better things to do, I'm not really paying attention to you. Don't pace around or fidget, because it tells them that your mind is elsewhere besides on what they're saying. Don't interrupt, okay? Don't let your opinion of the matter interrupt your listening and their talking. And finally, don't think of your response as the person is sharing their perspective or their point. See, good conversation skills are not easy, but I want to encourage you to work on this, because here's why. Jesus is less concerned about you making the right argument. He's more concerned with you having the right conversation at the right time with the right person, knowing the why behind the what. And so here's your action step this week. Listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit, because I know there are people in this room or joining us online right now that God has a conversation already picked out with a coworker, a friend, a family member, or a neighbor. I want to encourage you, listen to the Holy Spirit when he prompts you to ask the question, to pray with somebody, or to have that faith conversation. Maybe it's only 30 seconds. Maybe it's 30 minutes. Maybe it stretches out over 3 days. I don't know. But you would listen to the Holy Spirit and be ready to have that conversation. But also that you would listen to that person. That when they start to talk, that you're not thinking about your problems. When they start to share with you what they're feeling, what they believe, that you would listen to them and take it in long before you've thought of what you're going to say or how you're going to react. And so I want to encourage you to listen this week. Now, as we wrap this up and get ready to pray and send you guys out of here, I want you to know, some of you are sitting here today, and you saw this, are you sure you believe? And you were like, no, that's easy. I know that I don't believe in Jesus. I'm good with that. I'm sure I don't believe. I would ask you this question. Why don't you believe? See, I've been asking this whole time, why do you believe what you believe? But some of you are sitting here today and you're like, oh, that's easy, I don't believe at all. I want to ask you, why don't you believe what you believe? And then I would ask you, are you sure you don't believe in Jesus? And why don't you believe in Jesus? You're welcome to sit here and to be a part of this. My friend, I'm glad you're here. Or you're listening online because you're like, oh, I'm not going to church, but I'll check it out online. That's cool. Why don't you believe? And then I would ask you this. What have you got to lose to begin believing in Jesus? What are the whys that you need to investigate, to have answered, to even see what the why of believing in Jesus would look like? I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you the reasons for the hope that he has. I think the hope that he wants you to have for the answer of what faith is. And so if you're here today and you would answer that question, like, I don't believe, man, I pray you come back. I pray you join us again. I pray you'd even get involved in a group and ask those questions. Are you sure you believe, or are you sure you don't believe? Now, for those of you here today and you're like, listen, I believe in Jesus. I am sure I believe in him. Maybe you've been believing him for like the last 30 seconds, or maybe it's been the last like 30 years. If you're here today, I want to invite you. I would dare you and to stop the apathy that can set in and take over someone who's believed in Jesus for any period of time. What's that apathy? Here's what happens. When we don't investigate the why behind the what, it's very easy to grow apathetic and just coast. And someone says, hey, you believe in Jesus? Yeah. I go to church on Sunday. I'm cool. Why do you go to church on Sunday? Why do you believe? Why do you pray? As a Christian, as a Christ follower, I would dare you, implore you, beg you, encourage you to investigate the why behind the what you believe. Because let me be honest. Those who would say they're a Christian are actually the ones that damage who Jesus really is the most. See, a lot of times we like to think like those who are not Christ followers, you know, they hate on Christianity. You know, honestly, it's the people who say they love Jesus but don't live like they love Jesus that does the most damage. There's a great quote by a contemplative author named Brennan Manning. Now, some of you may never heard of Brennan Manning, but some of you may have heard of DC Talk. Okay, they're a musical group. Back in 1995, they did a song, and they put this quote at the beginning of the song, and it made it really popular. And here's the quote. It says this: the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today, okay, those who don't believe in Jesus, those who don't just doubt, but they vehemently are against Jesus. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, but walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. This, Brennan Manning says, this is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Do what you say you believe. Know and investigate the why behind the what you believe, so that it can, your belief can grow into faith, because faith has arms and legs and a mouth. Faith has action. Faith says, you know what? I don't just believe it, but I live it out because I know the why behind the what I believe. Or I know the why behind the what I don't believe. Man, don't sit on the fence any longer. Ask Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit to show you the answer for the hope that you have or he wants you to have. Pray with me as we close today.